Tune in to Refresh Radio with Regina Johnson.
Who is Regina Johnson? Regina Johnson.
Author, pastor, motivational speaker, and life coach.
Regina is inspirational,
motivating others to live out their purpose.
Regina is
passionate, tenacious, and relentless about helping others fulfill their destiny. Her goal is to bring a refreshing to someone's life. Join us every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Dial in to share your heart with Regina at 657-383-0309. That's 657-383-0309. And remember that Regina says,
we all know you really haven't failed until you stop trying. I want to be to people what others have been to me. And so that's really the purpose of Refresh. The end of the day, for people to feel refreshed.
So call in at 657-383-0309. That's 657-383-0309. You'll be blessed by her wisdom, strategies, and encouragement. That's Refresh Radio with Regina Johnson, a Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
Good evening. I'd like to welcome you to Refresh. I'm Regina Johnson, your host. Today is going to be an absolutely incredible story. Our guest today is LaKasha Williams. Her story, if you've not heard it, is a very impactful one. I've had the privilege to really watch her up close in a journey with her daughter, who has now gone on to be with the Lord, named Lauren. I want you guys to really kind of tune in today and invite others to join us on the show. We are talking about Against All Odds. LaKasha, I want to welcome you here with me today.
Hi.
Today we're going to be talking about just your journey with your daughter, Lauren. Lauren passed away just about, 2 weeks ago?
33 days ago.
33 days ago. And a little bit what was going on with Lauren.
Okay, Lauren had cardiomyopathy, which is a heart condition. And basically, she had two things against her. One where the didn't pump as well as they should, and then the other, the blood pressure was always high. Mm-hmm. So in March, we went into the hospital because of severe heart failure. And at that time, they decided to send her home on hospice because of severe failure.
Okay. Now, when Lauren was born, she was really, you were told that she would only live how long?
She wouldn't live past one.
Wouldn't live past one. But you were able to see the blessings of the Lord, right?
Yes.
Lauren lived until she was 16 years old?
Yes.
Is that correct? All right. So, LaKasha, I want you to just kind of take your time, and I want you to just kind of share a little bit about yours and Lauren's journey.
Well, it was a journey that was a rough journey at times, but it was a blessed one. Mm-hmm. It started off at 39 weeks. They had an emergency C-section. After C-section, they thought she would be okay. So I guess about 6 weeks after that, they did a checkup and they found out that she had hydrocephalus, which is too much fluid on the brain.
Okay.
So they decided to place a shunt at 6 months. And so we thought she was fine. Mm-hmm. She would be okay because, you know, we function normal with shunts.
Right.
So at that time, she was about 6 months old. She wasn't holding her bottle. She wasn't crawling. She wasn't doing the normal.
Right.
So they diagnosed her with cerebral palsy,
okay,
which is basically stiffness of the joints and over the body.
Okay.
And at that time, we thought, okay, we're still going to be okay. Right before she turned a year old,
mm-hmm.
We were placed in the hospital. Mm-hmm. She had pneumonia and she had RSV.
Okay.
So they had to basically put her on life support because one of her lungs collapsed.
Now, this is at how old?
This was at 10 months.
At about 10 months?
about 10 to 11 months because she spent her first birthday in the hospital.
Now, before we go any further, when you we're saying all of these things are happening, you're expecting to go have a normal, you had a normal pregnancy.
Yes, ma'am.
Correct. What was the cause of you having to have an emergency C-section again?
Lost too much fluid.
And so you had the emergency C-section. Still, you are looking at everything being okay,
yes,
with this,
ma'am,
pregnancy.
Yes, ma'am.
The birth, fine. How old were you when you gave birth to Lauren?
I was 19.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a baby.
Just a baby. And so, first of all, to be pregnant at 19 is like a really big deal. And then immediately after you have your baby, you go into like a really grown up situation.
Yes.
No longer a child. You have a child that needs you. So now you got to step up your game. Right.
Yes,
I know it's probably hard to even reflect back on those times and know exactly what your feelings were. But when you found out that this was not going to be an easy journey with Lauren, can you just kind of walk us down that path?
I think it was when she was diagnosed with that she needed a trach. She had sleep apnea,
okay,
which that skips after finding out she had cardiomyopathy at the age before she turned a year old.
Wow.
And
so how many diagnoses of things that was wrong? Like immediately you started hearing this before she's 1 year old.
At least five or six.
Five or six. All right. So we got this 19-year-old girl and you're hearing all this stuff. Where were you? How did you work your way through that?
I was afraid,
mm-hmm,
because I had worked in daycares before,
mm-hmm,
and so that wasn't the normal for me.
Right, right.
So
right.
I expected something totally different,
okay,
than what I got.
Now, the reason why I'm asking you this, for those that are listening, saying, okay, well, we can pretty much imagine that it would be difficult, that it would be hard. The reason why I'm asking these questions is because I believe that there are people that need to hear how to continue to press forward. In that moment, you could have given up. In that moment, you could have made some other choices. You could have brought in other people, you know, or tried to give her away, which a lot of people have done. They're saying it's too hard. There are stories of moms that literally just walked away from their children in the hospital because some of the diagnoses which they were given were just too difficult. I know that for a fact. I used to work at Tier in Houston, and the number, I mean, it's not like an overwhelming, but even if there's like one, but really over the years, there are multiple cases of where like people are in accidents and their lives are going to be totally different, never as they started out, and were abandoned by their families, but never once did you think about giving up on Lauren.
No, ma'am, that was an option.
That was not an option. So she's almost 1 year old. You've gotten about what? How many different diagnoses?
About four or five.
About four or five, and none of them are good.
No, ma'am.
None of them are good. I'm going to ask you, LaKasha, how did you at 19 come up with just the will to fight?
Well, I was introduced to Jesus.
Come on.
With my grandmother, and at that time, my walk with the Lord wasn't as like it is now.
Okay.
You know, I didn't have the revelation.
Come on.
So I knew, if I didn't know anything else in the word, I knew to call on the name of Jesus.
Come on.
And so that was the one thing that kept me going because, you know, as a parent, you want your child to be perfect.
Yeah.
And Lauren wasn't the perfect child.
Right.
She was a blessing.
Right.
But she wasn't what we say is
what
perfect, the
normal. Right.
And so I just had to call on the name of Jesus and just ask him to help me to be strong.
Right.
And, you know, everything the doctors would tell me,
right,
it basically was
not good.
Not good, yeah.
Yeah. When did they tell you that she probably wouldn't live past one?
It was a day that I walked in and they had the doors open, and they had always told me that if it was ever a time that the doors would be spread open to not come in because they were having to do an emergency. And so I remember walking from Subway and walking up to Lauren's room, and the doors were open, and one of her lungs had collapsed.
Okay.
And so they pulled me to the side and they said that they didn't think that she would make it they didn't think she was going to make it through the night.
Mm-hmm.
So she was on basically a vent machine, which is life support,
mm-hmm,
because one of the lungs had collapsed.
And she was how old?
She was about 10 months, maybe 11 months, because we spent our first year in the hospital.
Wow. her first year was in the hospital.
Well, she went in 10 months. Wow. And then after that, we just stayed in the hospital.
You just stayed in the hospital. How long?
For about 6 months, 7 months. About 6 months.
6 months. Okay. So you go on. She hits one.
Yes, ma'am.
She's 1 year old. She makes it past. A sigh of relief. We made it a little bit further, but still we're going to have to work. When I'm asking, as I'm thinking about that, and I think about, I had a very dear friend who had cancer, and the doctors basically closed her up and sent her home to die. And every day that she lived was a fight. Was that what it was with you, with Lauren? Every day you decided, I'm going to fight for my child to live today?
Yes, it was. But Lauren made it easy for me.
Explain.
Because I saw life in her.
Come on.
And the life that I saw in her pushed me to keep going.
Wow.
And so I never saw anything other than life.
Wow. Wow. So no matter what the report was, you still were expecting something different.
Yes, ma'am.
Which paid off.
Yes, ma'am.
The journey wasn't easy. So she goes from one, you're watching a gap of what you would call, quote unquote, normal. The gap is getting further and further apart from what would be the norm to what would become your norm in that place. Explain to us what that looked like for you.
At 2 years old, they decided that she wasn't receiving enough oxygen to the brain, so they had to place her with a tracheostomy tube, which is basically a tube placed in the neck to help with her breathing. And so I think that was the most scariest thing for me ever, because I was thinking, okay, what will I do with this, you know, this hole in the neck? And, you know, but she needed it.
Yeah. You learned how to suction and everything.
Yes,
right?
Ma'am.
Yeah.
I was a nurse.
There you go. There you go. And so you go on.
And so after she turned two, then they decided that she needed a G-tube, which is a feeding tube, because she wasn't getting the proper nutrition that she needed.
Okay.
And so that was another surgery.
And when you had the G-tube, was that a permanent?
Yes, ma'am.
So she was on G-tube like for the rest of her life? Here.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And she was able to eat by mouth, but she had to also use the G-tube for like all of her medications, because she's on about 16 different medications.
Wow. And okay, so she's on these meds. She's being fed the G-tube. Who's doing this?
Myself. And
so now you're 20?
Yes, ma'am.
You're 20 years old. Wow. Okay. I'm going to ask you a question. You can opt out not to, but you don't have to answer. We can move on. Where is your dad?
He is actually somewhere around, but not in her life. Wasn't in her life.
Was he in her life when you came home from the hospital?
No, ma'am.
During the pregnancy, was she in her life?
No, ma'am.
No, ma'am. Wow. Wow. So, okay, why would you ask me that? Because somebody needs to hear that even if you got to do it by yourself, which we're never by ourselves, right?
Right.
But even if you have to, you can do it. And you did it.
Yes, ma'am.
For 16 years, you did it. And that's what actually had me, and I shared that with you on Saturday, I think. Was it Saturday or Friday?
Friday.
My days are kind of getting off. Hang
Friday.
Out there on Friday. And so, yeah, because you said, I'll let you know before Saturday or whatever, right? You didn't even get down the street and you had to give it, right? The Holy Spirit had already brought confirmation. But there are a lot of women that just with what you would call, quote unquote, the normal kids who have been abandoned by the fathers and wonder, how in the world am I going to make it? But you not only made it without him, you made it with a child who had serious ailments going on in her lives. And I plugged in kind of here towards the end when you decided to start posting about her life and sharing pictures of your daughter. And I watched you just stand strong in the middle of that. And it was encouraging to those of us that sat on the outside watching. And so I kind of was like up close, like as if, you know, you're watching like your favorite television show, watching, but gleaning strength and really just watching really what we can do. You and Chastity Henderson probably be like our heroes here, watching two sisters fight battles for their children. She was on the show a few months back, maybe about 2 months back, and her son had strokes on both sides of his brain, And so we're watching her fight for him. And so watching you guys fight has been like an incredible privilege. So moving ahead, so we go, we're 2, 3, 4 years old.
We're still not walking.
We're still not walking.
But we're still believing.
But we're still believing. Everything, you would see this gap, you know, in between, again, what we would call normal and your normal. Did you ever have a time, though, to where you doubted, like, this is going to be our norm? Or did you just stand in faith?
I stood in faith. You know, I felt it as a mother because, you know, you see it.
Yeah.
I saw that there was an issue,
mm-hmm.
but I still kept believing.
Come on.
And I never let anyone put any limits on her.
Come on.
So it wasn't a limitation. So if it wasn't positive,
right,
then it wasn't spoken over
Wow.
her.
So, wow. Wow. So you protect her.
Yes, ma'am.
You're actually protecting the word of God over her life. Yeah, that he was the healer and he had the ultimate say.
Yes, ma'am.
And so your family, great support system?
Yes, my mom and my dad.
Awesome, awesome. I know that here in the latter part of the journey you've had, and I'm sure along the way you've had a lot of support that was even outside of your home. You were sharing with me about a nurse that actually was with Lauren from how old?
For about 11 years.
For about 11 years. That consistent face. I was watching a video of you guys clicking. What was that?
In musical, her music therapy.
In her music therapy. And I know there were others, or there's some others that were involved in this, helping support you. Friends, special friends that stood with you. Or was it really just kind of you?
It was really... I did the hard work.
Okay.
But, you know, I guess I would say I had tons of friends that, you know, were really supportive.
Awesome.
My family was the biggest support.
Yeah.
My church was a great support. Yeah. And when it came to the praying, anytime I needed, you know, we just needed
wow.
to see a change.
Right.
It was there.
We had the opportunity to kind of talk about when you have a child, special needs child, we are a little overprotective. I say we because I have a son. My middle son is autistic, absolutely incredible person. I love him. But we have a tendency to be a little overly protective. We don't really want to trust him in the hands of the world sometimes.
Right.
So you went through that. She's 5, 6. Did you experience those places?
Yes, I did. There was times that I just felt like, you know, no one really understood Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when we went out in public,
okay,
it was either scary for the kid, little kids that were around, or it was people stared. And so I was always on that. Or, you know, you would even have people come up and ask you, well, what's wrong with her?
Right.
And so at first my feelings would get hurt.
Okay.
Because it was my baby, because I didn't want her to feel like she was different, even though,
right.
you know.
Oh, yeah, I know.
But then I started looking at it as it was an opportunity for me to tell the goodness of God,
Amen.
Of how he was working in our life and
Amen.
What, you know, we were going through this, but
right.
and that the miracle didn't even question.
Right, right. So when did you know it was always a heavy for you? Let's talk about you just for a second. Let's step away from Lauren. You, 19 years old. This is your journey. You're aging as she's aging. How did you feel personally? Just you. Did you ever feel like you were drowning?
There were days I was super tired,
mm-hmm.
that I felt like I was a nurse. I was a doctor. I was everything,
right.
you know.
Mom, dad?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so there was times that I felt overwhelmed,
mm-hmm.
you know, the whole situation, because it was medicines from 7 in the morning to 11 p.m. at night, all in the middle of those times.
Wow.
Breathing treatments. If she pulled the trach out, you know, we would have to put the trach back in. So it was just, sometimes it was just a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when that load was heavy,
mm-hmm.
and then I asked Jesus just to help me,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's
mm-hmm.
all I had to do is ask.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a comfort.
Right.
And it just reminded me of the footprints, you know, because mm-hmm. you think that you're all alone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was times that I felt all alone.
Yeah.
And I felt like, you know, I can't do this.
Right.
And then I remember the footprints where he says, when you feel the burden the most
mm-hmm.
is when I'm carrying you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that's just one of the things, one of the things that have just stuck with me for a long time, because he was carrying me through all of that. The load wasn't really that heavy because he was helping me through it all, because there was no way I could do it by myself.
Even with the Lord carrying you, and I completely understand it. I'm actually asking these things for those that really don't have that connect, have no relationship with the Lord. It's very, very difficult to get lost in the middle of those storms.
Right.
Were you ever angry?
I was angry because I felt like it was something that I did.
Explain.
Having a baby without being married.
Wow.
You know.
We nailed that one up.
Right. You know, not being.
You said something. I was telling you about somebody else's story. You're like, that was me. You left me out there in the cold. Keep going.
You know, not being totally honest, you know, with her father, and just things that I thought it was my fault. I thought it was a punishment for me, you know, and at that time I wasn't walking with God.
Right.
And so I was upset because I thought, why me?
Right.
Why me?
Right. What would you say to that mother today that's asking that question? It feels guilty, like maybe this is my fault that I did this, that my child is struggling, or that my child has this illness or affliction or, you know, disease, whatever it may be, impairment. What would you say to her sitting at home saying, you know what, I did this, maybe probably feeling exactly like mm-hmm. you did? Or I had one lady I was talking to, she lost a baby, and she thought that it was because she had drank castor oil.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, it's not that simple. It's not that easy, or I don't know if it's castor oil, but it's, you know what the older people use? I can't think of it right now, but is it castor oil? And so, it didn't happen that easily. I know the enemy paints these pictures like I really can get in and interrupt this thing with these little minute actions or whatever. What would you say to her today?
That is not her fault. And that we don't really understand why things happen to our kids,
mm-hmm.
but just take it as an opportunity to just really find that love if you're missing love, you know, because I found love in Lauren,
mm-hmm.
you know, she couldn't speak. And so I tried to, every obstacle, I tried to turn it into a positive
mm-hmm.
because it was so much.
Right.
You know, and that's not like with the word, that's just in general. You know?
Right.
Anytime it was a negative, I just tried to turn it into a positive. But the most important is it's not your fault.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault. When did you come to a place where you realized it wasn't your fault?
Oh, my goodness. I would say years, like at least 6 or 7 years before I realized it really wasn't my fault. And that it was a story behind the journey.
My goodness. So you continue on. Let's just pick up from about the age 10. There looks like there's some light at the end of this tunnel, right?
Right.
I mean, we're a long ways now away from 1.
Right.
Look like there's some light at the end of this tunnel. 10, 11, 12. Not much change, but change.
She started walking. Started walking at 6.
At 6. Good. And they said that she wouldn't.
She would never walk.
Yeah. Because she wasn't in a wheelchair when I met her the first time.
Right.
Yeah, she wasn't in a wheelchair. And so she started walking, hope.
Right. Walking up the school bus, the stairs.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because the balance was still off, even though she was walking, it was still, you know, poor.
Right.
But she learned how to walk up a school bus. She learned how to walk on grass, which is, you know, it may seem simple, but for kids that have cerebral palsy and off balance, they don't, you know, they're sensitive to things.
Wow.
So her stepping off of concrete to grass, it's a sensor disorder for her also.
Exactly.
Basically, it just was uncomfortable. So if it was uncomfortable, she would freeze. Her body would stiff up, and she wouldn't do it.
Wow.
So
even grass, something as simple as stepping from the concrete to the grass could be an issue.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Wow. But she learned how.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. And so you watch those moments progress.
Yes.
Yeah. Those are good days.
Yes.
Yeah, those are good days. I was on Facebook last night, and I saw where, I think it was last night, yesterday, where Caleb, he stood up
yeah.
for 10 seconds.
So cute.
I was like going, oh, my goodness, look at God. You know, something
right.
that even when the doctors give you a report, you did it as a Christian, but you didn't start out as that strong Christian.
Right.
You were able to push past the obstacles and have faith for something greater. And
right.
so when you would see those little small advancements, just like we were celebrating Caleb last night, standing, for those of you that don't know who he is, it's Chastity Henderson, who you'll be listening to. You'll hear a lot about her doing walks here the next couple of weeks. It is for pediatric stroke victims. And, you know, a lot of people didn't realize that children had strokes.
Right.
Babies in vitro had strokes, which is exactly what happened to him. And so he wasn't supposed to be able to do that. And he got his 10 seconds in standing up. That was absolutely amazing. So when you see that, when you see that happen, and you get those moments, it's kind of almost like a reprieval, like get like a little break. We see some advancement.
Right.
And so to the one that would like discount that, you know, that would discount that moment, what would you tell them?
That every moment is precious.
Every
moment is precious. Every step, next step of the journey is precious.
Right.
It's all precious.
And so we should count. They should count everything.
All of the blessings.
Regardless of what anyone else says.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing how when they're your kid, you can look past what everybody else sees
right.
and see the miracle in the moment. See the miracle in the moment. All right, so we're going on from there. Where are we at? Oh, good. We're going to take a break in just give me about 3 more minutes because I want to get in as much as we possibly can today. And so, she's getting older. She's in school.
Yes, ma'am. 2 days a week.
2 days a week.
2 days a week.
On those 2 days, what did you do?
Work.
No. Okay, explain that one. How did you work and take care of her full time?
It was God.
Yeah.
It wasn't me.
Wow.
Just thinking about it, like.
How did you do that?
Support from my parents, because they were there, and God first, because.
So it wasn't like you were on some vacation. You
right.
were like, you know, oh, I have time to take care of her. You were not only taking care of her, you were taking care of your house.
Yes.
So you were doing that thing by yourself. So to the one that says, I cannot do it, they're proof positive. Here you are with a child that is struggling on multiple levels, and you are still working.
Yes, ma'am.
Still working.
Even while on hospice.
Even while on hospice. Now, you keep saying that. You said that to me, and we're kind of jumping ahead. When you say that, even while on hospice, even while she was on hospice?
Yes, ma'am.
Even while she was on hospice. I know someone said, well, automatically you think that. No. I want you to tell them what happened to you while your daughter was on hospice. Do you mind sharing that?
No, I don't. I just basically fell, and I didn't realize that I had ripped my spine at the top part of my neck area, and I had to go into emergency surgery. If not, I was not going to walk.
We're going to go into that a little bit further, because that happened not at the beginning, but it happened at when Lauren was actually sent home with no hope.
Yes, ma'am.
But the truth of it is they sent her home with no hope before she was one.
Right.
But look at how God turned things around. And look, if you have not, if you just plugged in, I'm going to take a small break. You listen to Regina Johnson. This is Refresh. We're going to come back with LaKosha Williams. I said it right. I did not say LaKosha. But for those of you that know her as LaKosha, I'll be back in a few moments with LaKosha LaKosha Williams discussing Lauren's life. I will be back in just a second. Listening to Refresh.
No, I'm not backing. I walk the line. I stay out the way. Yeah, never speak my mind. Living in a shade of gray. But the more I get to know me, the more you start to show me this isn't how it's meant to be. So I'll just keep on walking, and you can keep on talking.
To Refresh, I'm Regina Johnson. I am your host this evening. I'm here with a special guest, LaKosha Williams. We're discussing her daughter, Lauren, who passed away 33 days ago from
severe heart failure.
Severe heart failure complications due to her having
a genetic disorder.
She's diagnosed with muscular
cerebral palsy.
And I'm sorry, he just walked in and we were just discussing that. And so we were talking about you on this journey with your baby from the age of 19 by yourself, taking care of her all day, every day, working, had some support. Your greater portion of your support was from your family.
Yes, ma'am.
The Lord blessed you with incredible caregivers. Medical caregivers that were just a part of Lauren's life until she went home to be with the Lord. But we were in the middle of a story of something that happened to you. You had just received word that due to the complications of just life, things that were going on with Lauren, that she was actually sent home on hospice.
Yes, Right.
And your desire was that your child would come home, that she would not remain in the hospital. She was in the hospital for how long at that time?
She was in the hospital for a month.
For a month.
And then they decided, well, they only decided to send us home because I agreed to do hospice, because at first I was against it, but it was the only way to get home.
Before I go to your story, you did not want her to come on a hospice. Did you feel like that was you agreeing with that the fight was over?
Yes, ma'am.
And you weren't ready to give up?
No, ma'am.
Hi. Yeah. So you agreed so that you could bring her home?
Yes, ma'am.
But I remember the post. Yeah, they sent you home. What did you say? Do you remember it?
That they sent us home to die, but we came home to live.
We came home to live. Right after that, you guys had her 16th birthday party. 16th birthday party, which was incredible. Yes,
it was.
And you saw a rallying of her health come about during that time. You want to share with them about that? And then we're going to get on to you.
Literally the next week, it was just a turnaround. And I think it was just all the love and support at the birthday party.
Wow.
And she got off oxygen. She wasn't on oxygen anymore. She started eating. She started gaining a little weight.
Wow.
You know, her hair was growing back because it was falling out because of all of the medications and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a total turnaround. So we're just excited because we knew once again God had worked it out.
Wow. Wow. She got a reprieval. The Lord was showing himself strong and still is.
Yes.
And still is.
Yes.
But then things changed.
Yes.
Things changed. And in the midst of that change, what happened to you?
I had emergency spinal surgery because if I didn't have it, I would be paralyzed.
Okay, we need to go back to that. What happened?
I sat in a chair and it broke and
uh-huh.
I hit my head on a table and it basically just severed my spine. And the doctor said that he didn't understand how I was even walking. I should have been paralyzed already.
When you walked in the doctor's office, they ask you, who's the patient? Which one is the one that's ill, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And he was like just really shaken because he could see. And they showed you on a video. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
How your spinal cord, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Was it just barely attached?
Yes, ma'am. He said it was the worst spine he's had ever seen in his time of practicing.
Wow. At that time, what made you go to the doctor then was you had started to experience numbness. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. I couldn't write on the right hand, use my right hand to write. Numbness on the right side. Just couldn't feel. And so the pain was really bad at that time. And I walked around almost 3 months. It actually happened June 8th. The accident happened June
8th. Are you serious? 3 months?
Yes, ma'am.
My goodness. I remember you telling me about it when we were talking about it a couple of days ago, but I missed the 3 months. I knew it was a time span, but I don't know if I thought maybe it was like 3 weeks or something, because that's just unheard of.
Yes.
It is amazing that you are still alive for you to get an injury that high up in your spine, because at that point, I mean, we're talking about breathing, your heart. I mean, you know everything. Yeah. But so you go to the doctor and he is like going, we're doing surgery when?
Like right now.
Oh, wow. So he sent you over to the hospital?
Well, I actually had one request. I told him my daughter was on hospice. If he could just please let me go get her situated. And his exact words were, okay, you can't walk out into this parking lot. If you fall, it could be over. So they instantly put me in a neck brace. And he told me to be back at the hospital an hour.
Wow. Wow. So they weren't able to do surgery then because you had eaten.
Yes, ma'am.
So you had surgery the next morning.
Yes, ma'am.
So you had spinal cord surgery.
Yes, ma'am.
You left the hospital. And how long were you in the hospital?
I was in ICU for one day.
Get out of here. So you're in ICU for one day. How long you were in the whole year span of time?
Just 2 days.
That's a miracle in itself. And so what did they do?
Basically, they
you don't have to give me the technical terms of it, they just reattached it?
Well, they cleaned all the bad stuff out, and uh-huh. then they put, like, they sutured it straight.
Wow.
And so I have, like, a metal piece that's on the side of my neck that's holding it straight.
Wow.
I'm holding it in place.
Wow.
Because everything else was messed up from the fall. And
wow. 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 And so then you came home, and you had to lie on your back?
For about 3 months.
For about 3 months.
3 or 4 months, I couldn't hold any, pick up anything over 10 pounds.
Which meant Lauren.
Correct.
So you weren't going to be able to take care of her like how you had before.
Correct.
Did you anyway?
No, ma'am.
Okay. I was like, did you do it anyway? So you didn't. And you lay in bed with her?
Yes, ma'am.
Every day. That was your moment of comfort and closeness.
Yes, ma'am.
So those 3 months take place. They lead up to what?
Born declining.
Lauren declined. And so what did that look like?
It looked like it was getting to the end, but I still had faith. Even up until she took her last breath, I still had faith.
Wow. 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 So to that mother, Bakasha, you have done an incredible job. And I'll just take off from right here. I'll step in right here and just say, that's when I was watching. I really was watching your story at that time. Still just encouraging me. Just post and post about the faithfulness of God, how much you loved your daughter. And today we're not doing the show so that we can talk about Lauren's passing. There was so much that was given away during that time. A lot of people got a chance to love your daughter, get to know who she was, get to know you. And so we got to have gone. But I want to just thank you for being patient. Thank you for walking all the way up to the moment when Lauren went to be with the Lord, and we celebrate that because all of that, the struggles that she had, and unable to be able to speak and walk, you know, what we would call a normal way, she's doing all of those things right now. And though you miss her, I want you to know that you've been an inspiration to a lot of people. And so I want to thank you so much for being part of the show today, for being here and being open and transparent with me. And I pray that God will continue to use Lauren's testimony. They can actually find you. She has a page. You have a page. And what is the page called on Facebook?
Awakening of Love, Faith, and Miracles.
And why did you name it that?
I named it that because the Holy Spirit spoke to me one day and said, awakening. And then I heard love, faith, and miracles. And then...
Because that's what it was.
Yes.
Because that's what it
day,
was.
Each day, I got to see what miracles looks like and felt like. And then miracles continued to see every day.
Wow.
And the faith, it was like God gave me a glimpse of what faith looked like every day.
Amen. Because I want to thank you. I want to thank you. I want to just thank all of our listeners that plugged in today and those of you that came in just as a support system because they're here for you today. I want to thank you so much. Princess, thank you. I give a shout out to NHISG and all the hosts. May your day be fabulous and may God continue to bless. I'll meet you next week at 6 Central Standard Time, 7 Eastern Standard Time. Same bat channel, same bat time. Love you guys in the Lord. You can catch me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Twitter, Journey Strong. Facebook, Gina Johnson. And you have been listening to Refresh.